Okay, so we're up to Shmuel Aleph Perek Gimel. We are right in the middle somewhere. I'll figure out exactly where in a moment. But just to give the background a little bit, so Shmuel is the son of Chanah. Chanah promises that Shmuel will be, if she has a son, he will serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And Shmuel is a Levi serving in the Beis HaMikdash. And he's a, you know, the student of Eli. Eli is the Kohen Gadol.
Doesn't he have to serve?
Yeah, but not, he's there year round.
Oh, so he's like dedicated.
Yeah, he's all in. And Eli has two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, and they do a couple of different things that are problematic. One is that they, with the karbanos, so they kind of forced people to give them meat when they weren't entitled to it. They also took meat before the proper time to take it. And also they seemed to have different, again, there's different understandings of this, but seemed to have some involvement with the women, which was inappropriate. A Navi comes to Eli and says, you know, your sons are doing all this stuff and they're, you know, you have to take care of it. And he says that you're basically going to be cursed, that none of your descendants will live to be old.
And to the person who's offering him
The Navi says this to Eli, the Kohen Gadol, because of your son's ways, so you're not. So the one of the punishments is going to be that your descendants will not live to be old.
Wow.
They also won't take positions of importance, of authority, and then in our chapter, we have that Shmuel begins to receive his first nevuah, his first prophecy. Shmuel, he hears a voice, and he thinks it's Eli calling him, and he runs to Eli in the middle of the night, and he says, "Here I am," and Eli says, "I didn't call you." And then this happens three times, and Eli figures out that Shmuel is actually receiving a nevuah, and he says, "Next time you hear the voice, say, you know, here I am, speak, because I'm listening." So that's where we're going to start. Pasuk Yud, it says, Vayavo Hashem Vayis Yatzav, verse 10, Pasuk Yud, and Hashem came, and he stood over him. We discussed last time what that means. Vayikra Kefam Befam Shmuel Shmuel, and he called to him, as he had each of the previous times, Shmuel Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel Daber, and Shmuel said, "Speak, Kishomeya Avdecha, because your servant is listening." Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem said to Shmuel, "Hinei anofi ose davar b'Yisrael, behold, I am going to do something within Israel, asher kol shomo titzilena shtei ozno, that whoever hears it, both of his ears will, ring from it, from the news, from hearing about this." Bayomahu, Akim, on that day that this happens, Akim al Elias Kolasher Gibarti al Beso, Hachel Dechale. On that day, I'm going to fulfill all that I told Eli that I'm going to do to him, to his house. That day, it will begin, and it will be fulfilled. It will be completed. Some of it will, I guess, last on for generations. But all the immediate things that he had promised, that part of it was also that both of his sons will die on the same day, Chofni and Pinchas. That was part of the nevuah as well. So he's telling Shmuel, on that day, I'm going to fulfill this nevuah. The higadti lo ki shofet ani es beso ad olam, and And I have told him that that I will judge his house forever. For the sin that he knew, this is a, we'll have to see what this means. His sons are cursing them, and he didn't blacken them, he didn't rebuke them. So what is this referring to? Because his sons are cursing them. So Rashi and Mitzvotavik, I think this is based on a Chazal, they say that really it's talking about Hashem. It's directed towards Hashem. Lahem, them, should really be we. But the Pasuk does not, won't speak like that. It won't say that they're, that, that they're cursing Hashem. But it will say they're cursing them. But it means Hashem. And that's one idea. Others learn that they're cursing themselves. Mekalim Lahem, they're cursing themselves in the way that they're acting. Because they're bringing upon them punishment, or they brought upon themselves the punishment as a result of their action. Others learn that was the ultimate to the Southern, and the Malbim has a similar thing, but that as a result of their actions, people are cursing them. Because people recognize that, have come to recognize that their actions are inappropriate, and the Mekalel and Lahem, they are cursing them. Cursing his son because of their actions, and I guess you, Eli, have not rebuked them properly. And therefore, he says next pasuk, Yudalad, v'lachain, and therefore, nishpati l'veis Eli. I swear to the house of Eli, im yiskaper avon beis Eli bezevach v'mincha ad olam, that the avon, the sin of the house of Eli, will not be atoned for with karbanos and with menachos, for any sacrifices and offerings. It will not help to atone for them ad olam, forever. It will not atone for their avera. Seemingly on a pashut, simple level, there's no way to atone for what they've done.
This is
through a Navi, but yeah, this is Shmuel. It's Hashem telling Shmuel a nevuah. Yeah, it is. Shmuel is receiving this nevuah. Now,
that's weird, because, usually if people do tshuva or something, you know, or they bring a sacrifice, there is some type of forgiveness.
Right.
It seems like it's like...
Yeah. So what we're going to see is that the Gemara is going to say that with zevach u'mincha it can't have a kapara, through karbanos, through sacrifices, they won't be atoned for, but... It's going to be a machlokas, we're going to discuss it at length, but Abaye holds, but through Torah and Gnilas Chasadim, through learning Torah and doing Chesed, you can have a kapara, and Rava holds that through even just Torah. And we're going to look at that shortly. But just on also on a pshat level, the reason why they cannot have a kapara through Zevach u'Mincha, through Karbanos, is because of the idea of Ein Kategor Naser Saneger, that the accuser cannot become the defendant. And since Zera Vera was through the Karbanos, so they can't use Karbanos to atone for what they did. And that's why that's not going to work, but we'll see them, that the Gemara is going to say that there are other ways for their descendants to achieve atonement. Now, as I mentioned, Eli HaKohen already had a Navi come to him and basically tell him these ideas. And now Shmuel is having his own nevuah, like a repetition of it. So what is the purpose of this? So the Malbim says that in this pasuk it's brought out that this is the purpose. Actually, these two pasukim really. Yogimel Yodalad. So the Malbim learns that, first of all, that these two prophecies happened on the same day. That it was earlier in this day that the Navi, who Chazal tells was Elkanah, came to Eli to tell him the punishment that his descendants would receive. And then that night is when Shmuel is having his first nevuah. And the idea, and it's really based on our Gemara, is that a nevuah, or a punishment, that doesn't have a shvua, that doesn't have an oath along with it, can be overturned, can be forgiven. But here Hashem says, "Lachein nishbati," I'm swearing to the house of Eli that there won't be a kapara for this, at least not through karvana. And the Malbim explains that Eli had a chance, had an opportunity to rebuke his sons in between these two occurrences, and he did not. And that's why Hashem seals it with an oath that there's no coming back from this. Okay, let's keep going. We're going to come back and discuss this idea of the Gemara, that Torah and Mice and Tovim can help, but we'll come back to that after we see a few more Pesukim. Vayishkav Shmuel ad haboker, and Shmuel slept until morning. Vayiftach es dalsos beis Hashem, and he opened up the doors of the house of Hashem. Shmuel yarei mehagid es hamara el Eli. And Shmuel was afraid to tell the vision over to Eli, because it's bad news for Eli, and Shmuel was afraid to tell him. Vayikra Eli es Shmuel, and Eli called to Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel b'ni, and he said, Shmuel my son, Vayomer hineini, and he said, here I am. Vayomer, and he said, we're in Pasuk Yizayim, Ma hadavar asher diber elecha, what is it that he spoke to you, that Hashem spoke to you? Oh, how did he know? Because remember, three times in a row, Shmuel woke him up, and so. But I'm glad you asked, because the Mefarshim say, okay, I think maybe the Malbim, that somebody said that's why it had to occur this way, that Hashem wanted this nevuah, right? Shmuel didn't go tell him on his own. So, and usually if a Navi has a Nebuah that they're supposed to tell over, then they have to tell it over. You can't withhold a Nebuah. I think a Navi will be Chayav Misa if they withhold a Nebuah that they're supposed to give. But this wasn't one that he was required to give over. But, I don't remember why, but Hashem engineered it in such a way, though, that Eli would know about it and would press him on it, and he would have to reveal it to Eli. Do not hold anything back from me. So Eli gives him a curse that if you don't tell me what he said, so should Hashem do to you, and so should it continue. If you hold back one thing, from all that he spoke to you. Rashi says that here, that exact curse that I had. So the way Rashi says, not the curse that came in the prophecy. Eli doesn't know what the prophecy was exactly, but the curse that I had, which was that I had two bad sons, two sons that didn't work out, that should be upon you if you don't tell me. And what happened? Even though Shmuel does tell him what the prophecy was, still Shmuel's sons also turn out to be not such great people, Shmuel's two sons. And from here Chazal say that a kol es chacham, the curse of a Talmud Chacham, of a great person like Eli, even if he makes the Tanai, even if he makes the condition that, you know, if you tell me then it won't come, it's still come.
Just want to observe. Okay, so Eli had a couple sons who were making incorrect measurements or giving it at the wrong time, right? So that viewed as like, he could have corrected them. It's not necessarily a fatal personality flaw. It's that they're making an error, and if they given correction.
Right, but he didn't.
Okay, but I mean, the text seems to assume that if somebody's making a mistake and they don't receive, you know, proper instructions how to do it, that these people are somehow inherently bad or evil. You know what I'm saying? Like they had bad sins.
I don't
think
they're inherently evil, but they were rishayim. Yeah, they did something terrible.
Okay,
on a continual basis.
Okay, but the father did not correct them. Had they been given correction, they might have.
Right, but we're not talking about young boys here. These were grown men who were them in their own right righteous and had.
Yeah.
Should have been able to, they themselves knew better, right?
That isn't the point, right? Here the point is, be careful what you say.
Yeah, here's a different point. He's getting back into the punishment. But from this pasuk, what we see, what the Rashi brings, and I think it's a Chazal, is that the curse, the words of a Talmud Chacham have a tremendous impact, and even when there's a condition, it can still be fulfilled.
Well, I find it ironic. He's about to be given some pretty severe curses himself, right?
Ailey.
Yes. And despite that, he turns around and starts giving somebody else curses. The guy that's supposed to tell him the curses.
He wants him to tell him.
Okay, but yeah. It's like I'm going to curse you. The whole thing is too severe.
Ailey addresses Shmuel as my son.
What's that?
Ailey addresses Shmuel as my son,
Benin.
Right, right.
And then the response is sort of very reminiscent of Hineni. We've heard that before.
Right.
Yeah, so the truth is, we have this earlier also, each time when Shmuel hears the voice, so in Pasuk Dalet it says, and Hashem called to Shmuel, and he said, Hineni, and he ran to Eli, and he said, Here I am, Hineni. And then, again, the second time he goes to Eli, he says, Hineni, here I am. Eli was Shmuel's teacher, he was his Rebbe, and right, he seems to treat him with a lot of respect, and Eli said, Shmuel? Shmuel said,
Hineni. But I'm talking about the reminiscence of in the Torah.
Right.
When you go back to Avraham and others.
Maybe they got it from Avraham.
Yes, well, of course, but there's got to be a reason why it's related here. I would think. Not just a stylistic thing.
Right.
It means I'm ready to serve.
Okay, Pasuk Yod Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches Vayaged Lo Shmuel Es Kol HaDvarim Lo Chicheid Mi Menu. And Shmuel told him all of these things, and he didn't hold anything back. Vayomar, and Eli's response is, and he says, Hashem Hu, He is Hashem, Hatov Ve'ein Av Yaseh, He does what is good in His eyes, He is the Master, and Eli accepts Hashem's decision. Vayigdal Shmuel, Pasuk Yud Ches, and Shmuel grew up in, the Tzavit says, in Yiras Hashem, in Chochmah, in wisdom, in Yiras Hashem. Yeah, so pause before that. So that's sort of the end of this episode. Now we're going to have Shmuel developing into this great Navi that he's going to become.
When you say that he accepted his word, that's in the text, or you just interjected that?
He says, Hatov be'ein av yaseh. What's good in his eyes, he will do. That's what Eli says about Hashem. So, that sounds like an acceptance of, Hashem is in charge.
Or a resignation.
Right.
A resignation, he would have said nothing.
Fine. So, actually, before we go on, so let's pause and take a look at that Gemara. About how they can achieve a kapara. So a number of very interesting ideas about this.
No.
So I mean, I actually might be in yours because you have a lot of commentary, but. So the Gemara says, Amar, so it quotes our pasuk, and it says, Amar of Yonasan. sorry. It says Amar Rabba. B'zevach uv'mincha engel miskaper, aval miskaper hu b'divrei Torah. So again, it's going on Pasuk Yud Dawid, where it says Yiskaper avon beis evi v'zevach uv'mincha ad olam, that there can't be a kapara for beis evi, for the family of Eli with zevach uv'mincha forever, with karbanos, they can't get a kapara. The Gemara says there's no kapara with karbanos, but you could achieve kapara, descendants of Eli could achieve kapara through divrei Torah. Abaye Amar, b'zavach u'mincha engel miskaper, aval miskaper hu b'torah u'gmilus chasadim. That Torah on its own is not enough to achieve kapara. A person needs both Torah and chesed, gmilus chasadim, acts of kindness. Kihad the rabba of Abaye, like rabba and Abaye themselves, Tarvayu midbeis Eli ka'asu. Says the Gemara, both Abaye and Rabba were actually descendants of Eli. The great Amorayim, Rabba and Abaye, they were both Kohanim, and they were descendants of Eli. Rabba de asak v'torah chaye arboin shnin. Rabba, who learned Torah, he lived 4 years. Right? Even though it seems that the pasuk says that Chomar b'speischa yamusu anashim, that all those who grow up in your house will die as anashim, as young men, which is interpreted to mean 18, will die by 18. Still, Rabba lived till he was 40. Abaye to asak b'torah uvigmilus chasadim, and Abaye, who was involved in both Torah and chesed, chaye shitin shning. He lived for 60 years. He lived till 60. So they both seemingly overcame this curse. Tana Rabbanan. Then we have a brisa. So the brisa says, Mishpacha achas hayis of Yerushalayim. There was a certain family in Yerushalayim. So you may say, Mason b'nei shmona esrei shana. That the people were dying at the age of 18. Ubo b'yodiyus Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They came and told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that this Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a Tana. So he's earlier on, time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Lahem, so he said to them, Shema mi mishpachas beis Eli atem. Maybe you're from the family of Eli, and that's why you're all dying out at 18. Because it says, V'chomar b'speis chayamusu anashim. It says this pasuk that all those who grow in your house will die as young men. V'chu v'isku b'torah v'chiu. Go learn Torah, and you'll live. Holchu v'asku b'torah v'chayu. They went, they learned Torah, and they lived past 18. Vayukorin oso mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan al Shemo. And then they started to call this family the family of Rabbi Yochanan on his name, because he had given them the advice for how to overcome this curse of being from Beis Eli, and therefore they were able to survive. So what is the machokis going on here? What is the machokis? What's the dispute between Rabba and Abaye? That Rabba says that Torah on its own is enough to overcome this, and Abaye says that you need Torah and Gnilus Chasadim. The Iyum Yaakov has a very interesting idea here. Yaakov Reicher. He says, the Mishnah says in Avos, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Omeh. The world stands on three things, on three pillars. Al Torah, the Al Avoda, the Al Gmilus Chasadim. On Torah, on Avoda, on service, and on Chesed. So Abaye said, Rabba said, it's a hierarchy. The highest is Torah, then Avoda, and then Gmilus Chasadim. So Avoda, which is Zevach U'Mincha, which is Karbanos, just because you can't get a kapara from Avoda, from Karbanos, but if you move up in the hierarchy, you move up to the highest thing, Torah, so that should give a kapara, because that's even greater than Karbanos. And therefore, Rabba said that Torah is enough to give a kapara to atone for this, even though Avoda wasn't, because Torah is higher than Avoda. But Abaye held that no, that, we, as we mentioned before, that the reason why the karbanos weren't good enough was a very specific reason. It was because of ein kateger and asus aneger, because you can't use the very way that they did the avera, the accuser can't become the defendant, and since the avera was with karbanos, they can't use karbanos to achieve atonement. And that's why avoda wasn't good enough. But even though gemilas chasadim is lower on the totem pole, it's lower on this hierarchy. So gemilas chasadim, but it wasn't that avoda wasn't enough in its own right. Karbanos really should have been enough. Just there was a technical issue, which was that that's what they did the avera with. But therefore, they could go to the lowest on the list, gemilas chasadim, and that could work as well. The implication, the way that he's learning, is that both things on their own could atone, both Torah and Chesed, and Rabbah seemed to only have, we'll have to talk about this more, but involved himself in Torah, therefore he it worked for him, maybe that's why he got 40 years, and Abaye, who did both, who tapped into both of these things, both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, so he lived for 60 years.
It's kind of like an additive thing.
What's that?
Additive.
It adds on, right. He did even more, so he got even more life. Now there is a question that's asked, which is that at the end of the day, it seems that right, Rabbah was also correct, meaning Rabbah was correct that from the fact that he lived for 40 years, meaning who was right at the end of the day? Was one of them right? Was one of them wrong? On what could achieve kapara? We have Abaye saying that both Torah and Chesed can atone, and Rabbah saying that just Torah. Now, Rabbah lived for 40 years, so he seems to have overcome the... Right, he seems to be right as well.
It's a matter of expense. We don't know also that could have been other factors involved. In other words, so the Rabbah's original years may have been 40.
No, their original years were 18.
No, I'm saying aside from the 12 terms.
Right.
You can't say that they weren't identical in everything that they did.
Right.
You don't know that they were before, like all the different calculations that go into how many years a person is grand.
Right. But I guess the point is that it would seem that from the fact that Rabbah did overcome the curse, that he was at least right, that Torah on its own is enough to overcome the curse, and you don't necessarily need gemilas chasadim to overcome the curse. Maybe gemilas chasadim also helps, but Torah on its own seemingly was enough. So,
I was going up from the other angle, but that's not necessarily the fact that 60 years wasn't really true.
That it was because of his chesed also.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could have been other chesed.
Right. So also, I guess it's similar to what you're saying, is that, the riff on the Ein Yaakov, so he says that certainly Rabbah also did chesed. He wasn't, it's not like he didn't do any chesed, but they were just arguing about that which was the factor that's going to affect this. What is it that actually affects the Gezerah? Certainly Rabbah also involved himself in chesed, and therefore there was no proof that just Torah on its own could overcome the Gezerah, because it may have been because of Rabbah's chesed as well. So, putting that aside for a second. So I saw some other very interesting things about this. The Chofetz Chaim in Avas Chesed, so he proves from this story, Avas Chesed is a work on the halachos of Chesed, basically. So he proves that a person is obligated to not only, meaning, you might say that a person is giving a shir, so he's doing chesed, you know, he's teaching others Torah. The Chofetz Chaim says, no, it's not enough. That everybody has to be doing chesed, but they also have to be doing chesed actively. Active chesed, hands-on chesed. He says, you see that from this Gemara. Because, so, he says, you see, Adam Tarech Lasuk Bignilus Hasadim, he's not yotze his obligation to be involved in chesed unless he does Bignilus Hasadim Mamish. Gahetiv lo gam begufo, to do good for someone physically. It's not enough to help someone's spirituality, that's not enough, you have to help someone's, you know, physical well being as well. That in order to fulfill your obligation to do chesed. So, he says, you see this from this story, because what chesed are we talking about here? If we're talking about that, what kind of chesed was Abaye involved in that Rava or Rabba was not involved in? If it's a chesed that couldn't be done by anyone else, so then why didn't Rava do it? No. If it can't be done by others, so then you have to be mevatel Torah to do it. You have to stop learning in order to go do that chesed if there's no one else to do it. And if it could have been done by others, so you're not allowed to be mevatel Torah to go and do it. If there's someone else who's not going to be learning who could go and do it, then you're not allowed to stop learning in order to go and do it. So why did Abaye go and do it? What chesed are we talking about here that Abaye did more than Rabbah? So he says, the Chofetz Chaim says, that perhaps Abaye was this exceptional chesed doer. He was able to take it up a notch. When he would do it, there would be something added to the act. So even if someone else could do it, but nobody could do it like Abaye could do it. And so a chesed that came up for Abaye was Yeshur Masalei Be'achim. It wasn't something that could be done by others because he was the best at it. And Rava still held, whether Rava did have that ability or not, but Rava held that if it's not right in front of you, you don't have to go out and search for it, because if it's going to cause bittul Torah, if it's going to cause you to interrupt your learning. So he says, though, at the end of the day, from the fact that Abaye got 20 extra years, so says the Chofetz Chaim, we see that the heavens agreed with Abaye, and that it was proper, that it wasn't enough, you know, and I thought he says this, I didn't see it here, but Rava, again, was, oh no, he does say, Rava ha'lalime Torah l'achim, Rava was certainly teaching Torah to others, but what we see is that that's not enough, even though there's that kind of chesed, but it's not enough to just teach Torah, you have to do chesed that to the person's body, a person you have to provide physical chesed to people as well, and that's what Abaye did. Abaye went out and did that, and that's why, providing tzedakah, providing food to people, providing, help, physical help, helping someone walk, helping someone load, anything that has to do with the person's physical well-being, as opposed to just their spiritual well-being.
Help an old lady or an old man across the street.
Sure. Exactly.
Assuming they want to go.
Right. Assuming they want to cross the street. So, So, right, so you see from here the fact that Shemaya, that the heavens agreed to abiding, gave him 20 extra years, says the Chofetz Chaim, you see that a person has to actually be involved in chesed that helps people with their physical needs. He says perhaps the extra time that Abaye got was based on the amount of Torah that he had to interrupt for. That he had to be mevatel Torah in order to go do chesed, you know, for this amount of time, 20 years worth, and that's maybe where he got the extra 20 years on top of Rava.
So it might be worth it to mevatel Torah in order to do actions of chesed.
That's what you're saying. If it's not, if you are this exceptional chesed doer,
yeah,
like Abaye, then yes. And at least to do a little bit. That's what we see. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is really bringing out is in general, not necessarily, but at least you have to do a little bit of chesed. Everybody has an obligation to do some chesed. So I saw an interesting idea, perhaps, of what, do we know what it was that Abaye...
Only if nobody else could do it, right?
No, there's two things. One is that, in general, a person does not interrupt the learning to do chesed if it's possible for it to be done by others. However, what the Chofetz Chaim is saying is there is still a minimal amount of chesed that you would be mevatel Torah to do at least that minimal amount. Because the person has to do some chesed to others. You have to, and you have an obligation to do that, that you would even interrupt your Torah study to do at least that minimal amount of chesed. So do we know, do we have an example in Shas of what it was that Abaye did? So I saw a suggestion, fascinating idea of what was the chesed that Abaye did. So there's an article by Rav Shlomo Levinstein, which I saw quoted, and in this article he quotes, he wasn't sure who he was quoting, but he said that I heard from someone, I think it was David Gold, or something with a dollar, or Shlita, I'm not sure, but he says that we find many times in Shas that it says, Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, hears something, and he says, Lo Shmio Liha, I've never heard that. He hears something, and Rav Yosef says, I never heard that. And Abaye says to him, this happens over and over in Shas, what do you mean you never heard it? Rabbi Amar Lanu Zot. You're the one, Rabbi, who told us that. What happened? So Rashi explains that each time that Rav Yosef was the Rosh Yeshiva in Bava, but he suddenly got sick, and he forgot much of his learning. And so he would hear things, and he would say, oh, I never heard that before. And really, it was him who had taught it. Right? He dementia or Alzheimer's, something, and he forgot his learning. So says this Rabbi Gold, he says, probably what happened was, why is it Abaye always who steps up and says, Rabbi, no, this is what you said. So either you could say, because Abaye was the one who knew, you know, everything that he said the best. But he suggests that, you know, if you had a Rosh Yeshiva, right, and he forgot all his learning, so if you were in that yeshiva, would you still show up to shir? Would you still go listen to that rabbi? He doesn't know anything anymore. Probably not, right? So he says what probably happened was all the Talmidim abandoned Rav Yosef. And the one person who stuck with him, the one person who stayed with him, was always there whenever Rav Yosef said, you know, I've never heard that. Always right there with him, by his side, with this broken, you know, forgetful Rebbe, was Abaye. He says, can you imagine such a great chesed? That's what it means, perhaps, that Abaye was Asak b'Torah u'Gmilas Chasadim. At the same time, he was involved in Torah. This would not work exactly with the Chofetz Chaim, because the Chofetz Chaim was trying to say that he went out to do chesed. It was physical chesed. He's saying that...
it would work.
Because, right, it is helping this older man.
Because he could just as easily go over here and,
right,
and increase his Torah.
Right, that's true. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So perhaps this was the great chesed that Abaye had, that Abaye did, was staying at the side of his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, even after Rav Yosef had forgotten his learning.
Rav Yosef.
Rav Yosef was Abaye's Rebbe, and he many times in Shas, in the Gemara, we see he says, I've never heard that before. And Abaye says to him, actually, Rabbi, you're the one who told it to us. And this is what you told us. Because Rabbi Yosef got sick and he forgot everything that much of what he had learned.
So it was kind of like an interaction where he would call forth a response, an interaction, a response from his Rebbe, right?
Right, but the idea...
That's the act of chesed. Keep the Rebbe rolling, keep the Rebbe sharp, keep, you know, like that, right?
The idea is that what he's suggesting is that while others had abandoned this Rabbi because he was forgetful, but Abaye out of Chesed stayed with him to take care of him.
Very nice. He interacted.
Right. That's right. That's yeah. That's all.
Just gonna sit there and hear
all together.
Right.
Now, yeah. fascinating thing. We have also in Shas. So many times Abaye has a machlokas with Rava. Over and over again. They were chavrusas. And there's many, many disputes between Abaye and Rava. And we always passing like Rava. Except for six times in Shas. And we have an acronym for that. Very kind of similar. We always passing like Rava except for by Ya'al Kigam. By these six cases, Yud, Ayin, Lamed, Kuf, Gimel, Mem, and offhand, I don't remember what they all are. The first one, I think, is Yehu Shalom Das. That's the most famous one in Parak Elu Messiah, so Baga Messiah, that lost object. But these six times are the only times that we pass him like a Bible. So there's a Sefer that I saw quoted. It's called Ram Natseach Lo David. And I've never heard of this before, the Sefer. Very interesting Sefer. And it has a section in there about all of the times in Shas that there's a simon, an abbreviation, an acronym. And he says, Chazal, when they made these acronyms, they weren't just reminders, you know, of what they stand for, but there was there's a depth to it, and there are hidden messages and deeper meaning to all of these messages. And he goes through each one and gives a suggestion as for what Chazal were getting at when they gave these acronyms. So he says that this acronym, Ya'al Kigam, that we pass in like Abaye, by Ya'al Kigam, is hinting to this very idea that Abaye was able to overcome the Gezerah, the decree against the house of Eli. He says that... it's an acronym for the six things that that we pass in like Abaye. Which I don't remember offhand what they all are, but
remember what the first thing is?
The first one is Yeyush Shalomidah, which means abandoning an object but you don't know that you don't know that you lost. The technical sugya in Bava Metzia.
We
rule like Abaye in these six places. But what are Chazal hinting to in that when they said Ya'al Kigam? So he says that right here we have this gezeit, we know Abaye, the Gemara tells us, from the house of Eli, and that the Gemara says that it can't be that although the gezeira, the decree, can't be torn up with karbanos, but it could be torn up with good deeds and Torah, and this acronym Ya'al Kigam is actually hinting to the idea that Abaye was able to overcome this gezeira. Because it says Ya'al, Yud Ayin Lamed, is the same letters as Eli. That because Abaye came from the house of Eli. And he says not only that, but Eli himself was a Gilgal of Ya'al, who we learned about in Shoftim. And it says about Ya'al that, I don't know exactly what? This is the Ram Natseach with David, Rav David Pardo. He says that about Yahweh, it says, Minashim ba'ohel tivorah. It's part of the Shira Tivorah. I think it doesn't explain why he's referencing that pasuk. It means that she was from the woman in the tent, she was blessed. I don't know if it refers to her Torah, but
was the first lady who killed somebody.
Yes, she killed Sisera.
Sisera,
yeah.
Right.
So, but Eli was a Gilgal, was a reincarnation of Yael. It could be both.
This is a very abstract step. Okay.
And he says, so that's Yael, is a reference to Eli, and Kigam, Kuf Gimel Mem, stands for, he says, Kara, he tore up Gezerah Marbit. Kigam. He tore up the Gezerah of Marbit, of the whole Marbit Beischa Yamusu Anakim. That was the curse that the house of Eli received, that all those who grow up in your house will die as men. So that Yao Kigam stands for from the house of Eli, Kigam Kara Gezerah Marbit. All right.
Maybe you don't want to be excited.
Oh, man.